My name is Bridget, and I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ. I am in recovery for childhood abandonment, coupled with neglect, sexual assault, and prostitution. Now I am struggling with drug use and PTSD. My name is Bridget. Here's my story. There was an unspoken love that was shed in my family. I believed that I was safe and protected. I never dreamed that my mother would abandon all four of her girls under the age of 13. Throughout my life, I've always been anxious and kept to myself because fearful situations molded and shaped my heart. I struggle with allowing people close in. My heart makes room. I still struggle with allowing people close in my heart, which makes love difficult to find. In 1968, things changed in my home life. I noticed that my mother's nurturing love and watchful eye over her children was absent. I had three different fathers before I learned who was my biological father. The summer of 1971, my sisters and I lived alone because my mother stabbed a man and she was scared the police would arrest her. Sometimes relatives would stop by to check on us and bring food, but my mother was never with them. Praise God, his word was true for me and my sisters. Psalm 27:10, even if my father and mother abandoned me, the Lord will hold me close. I never forgot that night. I woke up in the middle of the night and my mother was screaming. She and a strange man was nude, wrestling in the middle of the hallway in my home. There was a knife on the floor. She yelled at her children, "Please pick up the knife." So my sister picked up the knife and gave the knife to my mama. This was the only experience that I had with domestic violence. Soon after the incident, my mother received notification that my father filed for custody for two of her children. Later, I learned that it was my grandmother who informed my father about her absenteeism. My mother was so scared of losing her children, she moved off her children to her father's brother, who lived in San Francisco, California. My sisters and I moved three different states before we returned to Houston, Texas. Later in life, I did the same thing. I ran from my problems. I first ran away from home at the age of 12 and again at the age of 16. Living in California was not an improvement. My sisters and I became latchkey kids because Mama was either working outside the home, partying with our new relatives, or at our new father's home. Like unattended children, we played with the neighborhood kids, ate junk food, and watched television until my mother showed up. This neglective custom has been a habit which still abides in my life. School in California was a difficult transition. I was an unhappy child, and it showed in school. I had problems with authority, bullied my classmates, and was disruptive in the classroom because I believed that I was unloved at home, and this was how I got attention from others. After one attempt running away from home at the age of 12, the police found me and contacted my mother. After the abusive physical discipline I received, my mother's attention toward her children changed. She was home, but always had a new boyfriend visiting or spending the night. They often gave me and my sisters money, which brought tickets for the beach, movies, beach trips. We were happy with the change, but my mama never really communicated that we were loved and accepted in a way that her children could understand. This was when loneliness and fear entered my heart like a permanent hitchhiker. Isaiah 49:15, can a woman forget her nursing children and have no compassion on the son of her womb? About the time I turned 12, my mother's mental health deteriorated. Later, I learned she was depressed and had schizophrenia. I had another abrupt change in my home life. All my mother's children moved back to Houston, Texas without her. It was 7 years when I reunited with my mother in Portland, Oregon. Unfortunately, I moved in with my father and our stepmother, who made it very clear we were not welcome in her home. My father criticized and called me a trifling girl, which made me ashamed of myself. It made it hard trusting and connecting with others in school, but the boys started to notice me. Later, I learned he was angry because my mother neglected his children, which disappointed him. Soon, I learned why my parents divorced. My father was an alcoholic, which caused more dysfunction in my life. Even though he worked hard weekdays, the weekends were party time for the many friends and relatives. Now, I was a latchkey kid on the weekends. Most times when my father was home, he never really spent quality time with me. I felt misunderstood by my classmates and my father. There was never really any discipline in the home that I understood, so depression and loneliness set in. It affected my behavior in school. I never got involved with the junior high sports. I had a couple of fights and skipped classes. Since the boys noticed me, I got my attention from them. We always did drugs, drank alcohol, and had unprotected sex. My grandmother on my father's side of the family, she brought comfort to me during my early teenage years. She attended church every Sunday, and God was introduced into my life. I watched the mothers pray, the sisters sing and shout, and the preacher preach about Jesus. I was about 15 when I walked from my seat and sought membership in the church. Psalms 32:5. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. My grandmother always had a way about her. She could express love without even using a lot of words. She always gave her time and attention toward her grandchildren. These special moments became few because my stepmother noticed how my grandmother loved her grandchildren, so my visits at my grandmother's house all but ended. Eventually, our church attendance stopped. At 16, following my mother's example again, I ran away from home, seeking a better home life. Celebrate Recovery teaches that insanity is defined doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result each time. I was seeking some sanity, wholeness of mind, making decisions based on the truth. I went to my boyfriend's house seeking shelter. Instead of a safe and loving home, he invited one of his male adult friends over, and they both proceeded to rape me. Like David in Psalms 41, even my close friend, someone I trusted, one who shared my bread, has turned against me. Although this rape was not as violent as the other three rapes, I have learned that God's hand was present during the rape. I cried so profusely that the rapist got no satisfaction. My sexual assault went unreported because I couldn't accept that this even had happened to me. I never understood why he assaulted my body, but it had a tremendous effect on my mind. Now I am living with the effects of PTSD. After the first rape, I wandered the streets in a state of shock, and men used my body in exchange. I sometimes received food and shelter. Soon I became pregnant, and my first and only child was conceived from sexual abuse. I found a Catholic organization who took in pregnant teens. Lucky for me, I didn't need my parents' permission. While living in the Catholic home for pregnant teens, I got a GED, a Christmas job wrapping gifts, and a newfound boyfriend. And I found a new boyfriend. Also, I learned how to steal from department stores. This is how I clothed my child until she turned two. I moved in with my boyfriend's mother and was hoping for marriage. My boyfriend's mother lived next door to my grandmother, who took me to church at the beginning of my adolescent years. Now I could see how the Lord was watching out for me. Psalms 91:4, He will cover you with His wings, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. After my boyfriend's mother found out that the baby was not her son, she wanted me out. So I moved in with my mother's sister, my aunt. Because of my PTSD, I could not communicate with anyone what my needs were at the time. They talked, I listened. My aunt enrolled me into the welfare system. They bought food and Pampers for the baby, but they still could not see where I needed help. Like my mother, I became an unfit parent because I was underage, lacked job skills, and vulnerable. I became a victim of human trafficking. This life of prostitution was not for me. Eventually, I lost custody of my child. Proverbs 18:24. One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. I moved to Portland, Oregon for a new start in life. In March 1983, I repented and accepted Christ into my heart. Step 3, we made a decision to turn our lives and our wills over to the care of Christ. In 1989, I moved back to Houston, Texas, trying to reconnect with my family and daughter. My aunt, who had custody of my daughter, allowed me visits with my child, but always supervised visits. In Texas, I became what Christians call a backslider. In 1997, I returned to Portland, Oregon. Eventually, I started attending Celebrate Recovery because my counselor thought it would be a step in the right direction. Step 6, we were entitled, ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Never thought I would be one of those people. Hi, my name is Bridget, and I'm a marijuana user. Yes, it was an unfamiliar atmosphere. Nevertheless, I kept coming back. Philippians 1:5-6. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who begun a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Unlike church people, most CR attendants believed in Christ for salvation, but they acknowledge their imperfections. Just so you know, Celebrate Recovery was not an easy transition. I had trouble believing principle too. Honest belief that God exists, that I matter to Him, and that He has the power to help me recover. I learned from my grandmother that God exists, but the part about I matter to Him and He has the power to help me recover, it took some time before I believed that part. I listened attentively in the small groups. I listened attentively in the small women's group, but I started remembering the rapes and the childhood neglect. But I also learned that I was not alone in this world. the prayer cards gave me an opportunity to begin applying the scripture, James 5:16, into my life. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Eventually, I joined a step study group, and healing in my heart started. It took 2 step studies before I believed step 2. We came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity, and He has the power to help me recover. Thank God my sisters knew I needed to be loved, so they just kept right on loving me in a way that would help me grow in my Christian walk. Proverbs 27:17 says, "Iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." After attending Celebrate Recovery for 2 years, I renewed my relationship with the Lord and found a church home. Even though I was in church, I struggled with not sleeping with the brothers in the church who were weak in their faith as I was. I was not being trafficked by the brothers, but this was how I sought love and comfort through sex. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve my conscious contact with God, praying only for His knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. Eventually, I learned fornication is a sin. Now God has given me strength. I can keep my dress down and my legs closed to men. 1 Corinthians 6:18-8 urges believers to flee from sexual immorality. I am learning about Jesus and how to follow Him. Celebrate Recovery is not just a recovery program like AA. Celebrate Recovery takes you a step further and teaches you how to follow the teachings of Christ. And love is the message of Christ. When I got sick in 2023 and was placed into the hospital for 3 weeks, the women in Celebrate Recovery became my forever family, somebody who could be there for me. I was surprised that they would walk alongside me during my illness. For 6 months, they made sure my rent was paid, and they followed up with me about other bills. Money was not the only thing they did. People came over and visited me. They brought me food, and they took me to recovery meetings, which was strong emotional support. Finally, my walls started to break down. Now I know what Christian love is meant to be. I don't know how to express the heart change in me. I am thankful and grateful for Celebrate Recovery because it improved my Christian walk. Recently, I decided to move into a place called Kim's Place, which is a sober living home. I have found the courage to deal with the trauma from the rapes and my drug issues. With the Lord's help, I can cope with everyday life. Since I have been in Kim's Place, I am completing my 3rd step study and has been asked to lead a step study. I was placed on the leadership team, which is a prize. Someone has confidence in me, which is refreshing. The help with an outreach, and I also help with an outreach which loves on trafficked women and strippers and pimps. If you give Celebrate Recovery a chance, it can change your life. And that's my story.
That was hard, man.